Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, this past week, news broke that former Madigan aide Kevin Quinn is still working in Springfield, getting under-the-table payments for lobbying work as late as January of this year. Quinn was at the center of sexual harassment claims from political consultant Elena Hampton. Hampton accused Quinn of harassment and Speaker of the House Mike Madigan for not doing anything about it. Madigan fired Quinn in early 2018 and also told the press that Hampton was courageous for coming forward. But Hampton also filed a federal lawsuit against Madigan, accusing Madigan's political committee and the Illinois Democratic Party of not doing more to protect her before and after coming forward. Hampton blew the whistle on a culture in Springfield that seems to be rampant, and it started a movement of lawmakers, staff, and advocates to force Springfield to address sexual harassment. A task force was created, new laws were introduced, but this past week's news has many questioning whether all of the response was lip service, and the Boys Network continues to thrive, just not out in the open. For Hampton, this past week's news made her question that as well. She's been pretty silent up to this past week, letting her story do the talking, but she put out a statement, and tonight, Elena Hampton, my guest on Extension 720. Elena, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you put out the statement, and the statement really grabbed my attention because it was really saying that Mr. Quinn can continue to work, but you've had trouble finding any work since the allegations.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, I really was not surprised when I read the story in the Tribune. It wasn't shocking to me, and I honestly don't think it was shocking to anybody. But it was interesting to see it written about, and it was exposed by the Tribune. And, you know, people got to see what exactly I was talking about last year when I was saying that they didn't take the reporting of my situation seriously because I reported it twice. And then, you know, now they're paying him from powerful lobbyists that are close to Speaker Madigan, or, you know, it appears that they are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just felt like a little bit of things that I was saying kind of came true. And, you know, I had proof of it.
Yeah. And part of the statement, too, talked about your troubles of finding work that there, and this is part of the lawsuit as well, but this idea that there is this retaliation culture in politics, mm-hmm. and that for all the movement that we move forward in Springfield, there's still this don't mess with power kind of vibe coming from that.
Oh, absolutely. It has been tricky since all of the story came forward, but honestly, it was tricky before. And that's the reason I filed the lawsuit in the first place. I mean, I was having issues with work before, so it kind of goes hand in hand. I would say it has gotten worse since the story became public because, you know, people don't reach out to me the same way that they used to about helping them on election campaigns, and I think people are afraid. I've even spoken to a former politician that I've worked with in the past who has said, oh, you know, so-and-so said that, asked me if I was afraid to work with you. And, you know, it's those, like, behind-the-scenes conversations that go on that nobody knows about.
When you came forward, did you think about what the repercussions would be? Did you think you lived in a society in 2019 where that was a thing of the past?
Oh, no. I knew what I was doing. I knew what was going to happen. I fully mentally prepared for it, whatever that means. And I say that because I did mentally prepare for it, but nothing can really prepare you for what happens in a situation like this. But I knew the loss of friendships was coming. I knew the loss of colleagues was coming. And I knew it was going to be like a hush-hush thing. You know, it's difficult to take on someone that's so powerful in these very powerful organizations. And that's why a lot of people aren't willing to do it.
But for everything that you suffer personally and professionally, there has been movement, not standing this past week, but let's talk about, yeah. There has been a sweeping legislation that's been passed. There has been more emphasis put on keeping checks in power and of course, sexual harassment. From your point of view, do you see that Springfield has moved in a different direction?
I would say a little bit, yeah. I think definitely there have been some laws changed that have made big impacts. I think the statute of limitations for sexual harassment doubled in the state of Illinois after my story became public. But you also have to remember that it was 2018 when that story became public, and the fact that that's when we first started looking into it is kind of insane. And when I chose to go public, it's because I knew that if I found out about someone else being harassed and I could have done something to prevent it, it just would have eaten me up inside. And I knew that I had the ability to make a change in that aspect, which is why I spoke out about it in the first place.
We've had these conversations as well about the rampant culture, not just in government or with powerful people, but just in campaigns and elections in general before. And I hope that some of the apparatus has been put into changes, but it was kind of the wild, wild west when it came to HR protections or any sort of harassment, anything like that. It was, you're working for free as, you know, fast and hard as you can, and hopefully you'll get a job at the end, and you pretty much got to put up with everything.
Yeah.
When you see that, that's being addressed, that more and more people are coming forward saying we need to change that culture. Is that something that you look at and say, well, that is a direct result of me telling my story?
I would say yes. I mean, it's clear that many of these changes that were implemented are because the story is very public and it's people are watching it, right? Do I think enough is being done? Absolutely not. I think people are doing just the bare minimum to make it seem like there's change being affected, but it's really not enough. And it's kind of, you know, the story kind of comes in and out of the media, and it's not really until it's picking up in the media again that people remember that it's something that's important to care about.
That's a big point, because there are a lot of times where there's not a campaign going on. Unfortunately, we're getting to a point where there's a campaign all the time, but yep, there are where it's downtime, where we're not talking about these issues. And it feels like this, before this happened, where the Tribune looked into Kevin Quinn's payments, people were not talking about anything that was around sexual harassment or the Me Too movement in Springfield, at least in recent memory.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, it really fell off the radar for the past, at least 6 months. It was this FBI investigation that really brought it up again. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we just kind of like let things fall to the side when it's not picked up in the press every day.
Yeah. Elena Hampton's my guest tonight on Extension 720, talking with her about her story. We know in Illinois she came forward on sexual harassment allegations against a top Madigan aide. And since then, we have seen movement in Springfield to change what is considered a boys' culture in our state capital. We'll have more of a conversation coming up here right after the break. Elena Hampton, my guest. Stay with us. Welcome back to Extension 720 on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Elena Hampton, my guest in studio tonight here in Extension 720. We're talking about last week the news that came out that Kevin Quinn was still getting paid under the table for some lobbying work. And really, you know, you had a very high profile accusation about sexual harassment with Kevin Quinn, which he was dismissed by Madigan's office. And it really got the ball rolling about Me Too and state government, or not just state government, city, all government and elections and things of that nature. You tweeted out not too long ago about, you said, to the Democratic Women's Caucus, I have now been waiting a full year and a half for you to support me publicly or even address me by name in a statement. Where are you? What is your stance? We all want to know. That's a very powerful statement to the Women's Caucus for the Democratic Party. They're not supporting you?
Publicly, absolutely not. Even behind closed doors, there's very few that have reached out to me. Kelly Cassidy is fantastic all the way around. She's been very supportive. But other than that, it's been almost silent. And I think Carol Ammons made a statement. But other than that, with the women, it's pretty silent. And it's really disappointing. You know, just 2 weeks before my story broke in February of last year, all of these legislators wore black to the state capitol to raise awareness for victims of sexual harassment and sexual assault. And what's ironic to me is that my story broke 2 weeks later and they didn't even have the audacity to make a statement addressing me by name. And, you know, we have all of these Democratic women who like to say they're so pro-women, they really put themselves out there on the forefront of women. But you have this situation here, a very powerful situation where there's a lot of evidence in what I brought forward, and they're just completely silent about it. And it's obvious because it's something that's impacting their boss. So I certainly find it to be disappointing, but even more than that, the silence when it comes to me is just continuing this culture of sexism, and it's not helping any women feel safe coming forward when they're being abused in the workplace.
Many who might be casual observers to the story say that the government, and in particular the House Speaker Mike Madigan's office, has responded. They have gone out of their way to fire the accused, to investigate the claims, to create a task force, and to ultimately get a sexual harassment workplace law passed, sweeping law passed through the House. So the argument might be that there has been movement, that your story has moved it along, and that they have done more for you than maybe that others are seeing.
So I always find this argument interesting because Kevin Quinn was fired exactly 1 year after the first time I reported the sexual harassment. And then additionally to that, he was fired 3 months after Mike Madigan knew about it himself. So that argument isn't really a great one for me. I think people forget about that those details. Right. So, no, I don't really find that to be a great argument.
When you first brought to the attention of the office that you were being harassed and nothing was done, what happened? Did they give lip service to it? They said, we're going to take care of this. Yep, you know what? Thanks for bringing this to us, Elena. And how did it go down, the first one, a year before we even heard about any of this stuff?
I'm not sure how much I can really speak to this, to be honest, but what I do know is that I was still expected to continue working with him. And by that point, I was so scared. I mean, I was living in fear, and it's never comfortable to be living in fear. And it's not comfortable to work with someone that appears to be obsessed with you. I mean, it wasn't something that had been taking place for a couple of weeks. It was something that had been taking place for 5 months. So that's probably about all I can speak to that.
Elena Hampton, my guest here on Extension 720. You know, there's so much that has been made about you coming forward. And as I've sort of been poking around, the idea of changing the culture in Springfield. But there's also this idea that, you know, oh, well, Mike Madigan didn't really have anything to do with this. That Mike Madigan he's a head of a large corporation, if you will, which is called the Democratic Party. He can't be aware of everything that his aide is doing. What's your response to that? When it seems that when he has said publicly, when I found out about this, I'm going to do something about it and I'm going to change the way we do things. And you have seen things change. Do you buy that? Do you buy the fact that it's such a huge, sprawling political party that he's not the kind of guy that's going to know about everything that's happening everywhere?
No, I don't buy that. I think Madigan chooses to be the boss, and he has firewalls set up with all of his administrative staff that prevent him from finding things out, but that's also a choice that he makes. And if you choose to be the boss, you need to be making sure that all of your employees are being taken care of and not just the top dogs. And additionally to that, especially within my situation, he did know. I mailed a letter to his house, and he knew about it personally for 3 months. So I've said this before. I said in my press conference, I think I really am the first person that ever put it right in front of his face. But I think he should take some fault for the fact that he has set up a system that prevents him from finding out what's really going on in his organizations.
We've seen other people come forward. We've also seen some other top operatives for the Madigan camp to be accused and to resign. How rampant is it from your vantage point, from where you're at and coming forward? Are you coming forward to give voice to many, or is this particularly one story that's coming from you?
I would say for me, this is certainly fighting for justice for myself, but also I knew how big of an impact it would make. And I do believe that it is rampant in Springfield. I think it's out of control all throughout politics in Illinois and probably, you know, around the nation. But specifically speaking to this, I know that even for me, I didn't have anyone to report this harassment to. I reported it to an alderman. That was my only avenue. And unfortunately, that was my harasser's brother, which made it worse. But, you know, when I was working with them, there were never any like guidelines of this is where you report something. This is what you do if this situation is happening. It's like it's almost like living in the 1950s where it just didn't matter at all.
Are you going to get out of politics? I mean, are you thinking like, I guess it's a two-part question. Why did you get involved in it? And why do you want to stay?
I got involved in politics. I just applied for the Democratic Party right out of college, and I got hired to work with them. That's the extent of that story. I grew up in Central Illinois, so I didn't even really know what the Chicago Machine was, which is kind of funny since I became part of the 13th Ward, right? I'm playing it by ear. I mean, I definitely enjoy what I do. I'm very competitive. I love doing what I do, but it has been very uncomfortable for me the past year and a half. And I definitely would enjoy working in it again. I think it would just have to be the right situation, because when I'm having to deal with the media aspect for myself on top of running a campaign, it does get a little overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I certainly would love to continue working in Chicago politics as long as I'm feeling comfortable with it.
You mentioned the media and all that's come out in a year and a half since you came forward. Do you feel like you have got a fair shake? Do you feel that the media has treated your story in a fair and equitable way?
I do. Yeah, I think they've done a really, really good job of doing the research and, you know, finding out what's factual and what's not factual. I don't have any real complaints about that.
Elena Hampton, my guest tonight in Extension 720. Thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate you coming on and telling your story.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Responding. Appreciate it.